Hello and welcome to Cultivate to Thrive podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Gunn, founder of Cultivate and Thrive. I am a self-actualization and mindset coach. I help Christian professional moms thrive in their reclaimed value as they cultivate a fulfilling and purposeful life. In these episodes, you will hear me share lots of information and experiences with you. Occasionally, I will bring on a guest to share what they've gone through and how they've handled things, or just something really interesting or fun. You can find me live on LinkedIn, the Cultivate and Thrive Facebook page, and the Cultivate and Thrive YouTube channel. You can listen to podcasts after they've been uploaded on your favorite podcasting platform. I am so grateful for you. Thank you for joining me. If you find something is useful, please share. Also, I appreciate comments and feedback and ideas of things you would like to hear more about. Thank you and welcome to today's episode. Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're coming from. I'm so excited for the special edition today. Very shortly, I will be bringing on Ronald Henderson, and we're going to have just an open and honest faith discussion. We welcome your comments, your feedback. Please let us know where you're joining us from and whether you're live or replay. Thank you so much. Now, as I've said before, a lot of times I will open my Bible. This is my Bible. It's in a nice little package cover. And I pull out a scripture. I pray first and let God guide me to the prayer that I need to say for guidance to make sure that I choose words and the message that people need to hear. This morning was a little bit different. So I used this Bible back when I was in a prayer group in the early 2000s back in Michigan, and I kept a lot of stuff in the pockets. So this morning I felt an urge to go through what I had in there, and I hadn't done it for years. And I had this little note, and this was from a ministry that I had participated in called Empowerment to Personal Evangelization. And I want to share it with you. A seed until it is released is only a promise of a tree. One seed has the potential of growing a whole forest. So go and grow the kingdom of God. I thought that that message was very, very relevant for today's episode about sharing, planting the seed, and making sure we grow a forest. So without further hesitation, I would love to bring on our special guest today, Mr. Ronald Henderson.
Oh my gosh. Oh, Michelle. Yes, there were times when someone said, yeah, that's Ron over there. He's special. But anyway, thank you very much for having me on your show this morning. And hello to everyone that's attending. It's truly an honor to be here. Michelle, I do appreciate this. I'm not only representing myself, but I'm also representing any other people of my age, senior citizens. And I say never too old, never too late, and that we still have something to offer. So I hope this morning will be an encouragement to others to find their voice as well.
Absolutely. And I'm just thrilled beyond words to have you join us and to have this conversation. I've watched you say prayer, tell stories. I was blessed enough to meet you in person. And yes. I just knew we needed to have this conversation. I do, hopefully you're prepared. I did not give Ronald much notice at all. I just mentioned this morning the two questions I had for him today. So I'm kind of throwing them at him. But do you have a favorite scripture you'd like to share with us today?
Well, as I mentioned, I have a number of favorite scriptures that I've used in different situations to give me some kind of stability. But there's a scripture at this point, and it's not so much a scripture as it is a prayer. As we're all familiar with the story of Samson and Delilah, correctly? Yes, I mean, we know that the man had long hair, he had a lot of strength, and he could go about doing amazing feats. He had his hair cut. He was a very prideful man, but he had his hair cut in his sleep. And when he awoke, there was no way that he could prevent being carried away to a prison. And while there, they took out his eyes. Here he was, the strongest man in the world at one time, but he was brought to his knees. Well, the enemy carried him out to the temple, and they wanted to show him off for sport, and the crowds of people were just taunting and teasing him. Here he is, the strongest man in the world. Look at him now. He's led around by a little boy because he has no eyes. He asked the young boy, Samson did, he asked him, place his hands between the columns of the columns of the temple. He could just place his hands between there. And then he prayed a prayer. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. He's acknowledging God now. From what I read, he had never acknowledged his strength came from God. He says, remember me, because unfortunately I had forgotten you, but I'm remembering you now. I pray. I'm not relying upon my strength and my own resources. I'm praying now to you. Strengthen me. Yes, I spent my life moving in my own strength, my own ability, my own skills, my own this, my status, and whatever else. I was buoyed by that, motivated by this, that, and the other. I found value in so many things. But you strengthen me. And my strength is perfected in weakness, being that I'm yielding to you and for you to give me strength for your purpose, he's asking. He says, I pray just this once, this time of significance, I am praying that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. He wanted to take vengeance. At this age and at this time, I'm not as strong as I used to be. I'm not as able as I used to be. As a matter of fact, my wife drives me around 98% of the time. I'm not as sharp-witted. No, not as sharp-witted. I mean, I was very technically inclined. My job, I was very capable on the job, repairing machines, dealing with customer situations, doing anything and everything. I'm no longer that person anymore. I had a breakdown. I burned out. Mm-hmm. I crashed and took a lot down with it. But I'm asking God just this once to let me live an intentional life serving you and to restore relationships with my family, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, and others, Lord. Help me to find that burning bush. And if I have found it, help me to recognize the burning bush. Help me to understand it and guide me. I know you will because I'm asking. You said, if you seek me, you will find me if you search for me with all your heart. Well, you got to know what you're looking for. And you say, okay, there is a God and I'm seeking you. And I'm finding, I want to know more and more and more. I want to taste and see that the Lord is good. You help me. In the Psalms, the psalmist said, give me the knowledge or the wisdom to help me to understand your law. I'm asking you to help me to understand. This Bible is filled with underlines and scriptures and highlighted. It's got markings all in it. For whatever reason, I don't remember the guy that wrote in this book. I don't. I look back and I see my career. I went to thousands and thousands of places and dealt with all these customers. I don't remember. I cannot comprehend that this individual did what he did in so many cases, but I ask God each day, Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Where am I now? How can I be good to my wife again? Help me to be grateful. I've said a bit of a spiel. There are a number of scriptures, yes, that I could recite, but this is my prayer at this time. Help me to make amends. Help me to understand you have a deeper relationship with you. I'll take a pause.
That was a wonderful share, and it gives some insight into the person you are, the person you were, and the person you want to become still. I think it might help people who don't know you, people who haven't heard of you. I can't imagine who that would be. But if you share some of your faith journey, what that looked like, I think a lot of people believe that people are either like anti-faith, they don't have faith, or they're just always faith-filled. But I think it's more common that there's a faith journey, and it's a lifelong journey. So if you want to share some of that, where your faith started, where it came from, how it developed, and where you'd like to take it, that would be very interesting.
It would be interesting. And I've been praying that I could remember what my walk was, because it was so, as you say, a walk or rambling, a wandering, seeking God, as I was finally seeking who I was in my relationship with God. That, yes, I began in a parochial school, and I spent 5 years in there. I studied the catechism. I was a non-Catholic at the time, but yes, I did learn of the Catholic faith and experience that. And then when I got older, I began to read Guidepost magazine. Guidepost magazine by Norman Vincent Peale and his wife, and there were so many stories in there, faith-filled stories and mysterious stories where there truly was a God intervening in people's lives. And I said, wow, that's really awesome. And I read the Daily Bread and also Unity Magazine. I still had different scriptures. I read a book by Norman Vincent Peale that had a variety of scriptures in there. One of them that appealed to me was, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And then, how can a young man change his way? By taking heed according to your word. I was attending an Episcopalian church, and I did the responsive reading like everyone else by the Book of Common Prayer. But I'll mostly concentrate on trying to read and step with everyone else and trying to follow the words. But then one day I went to the bathroom downstairs, the restroom, and there was a Book of Common Prayer sitting on the wall there. And I guess that's where maybe the pastor could reach up there and get it. Well, I began reading some of the Psalms in there, the very ones we'd read on Sundays. Well, I read that and I said, this guy, David, he sounds like he's going through some stuff like I'm going through. So that deepened my understanding. And then there was a group there, a men's group that would meet every month. And we would sit down, we would have these discussions. And then I asked the leader who was visiting the church, I asked him, says, is there anything more to this? I said, is there something more to it? There's nothing he could say. I'm going to share an experience with you. It's going to be a little creepy, but I'm just going to share it with you. I know you can handle it. I was working downtown in a customer account, working on one of the big machines that I maintain. And for whatever reason, I shut my tool bag and I left the room, the print shop room, and I walked towards the front door of the building. And I'm thinking, like, where am I going? Like, I'm not hungry. I'm just going for a walk. But where? I looked and I saw the street ahead of me, and I decided that I should cross the street. Actually, I felt like I should cross the street. And should I go to the right? Should I go to the left? I chose to go to the right. I went to the right, and I started walking north up the street along with the rest of the lunch crowd. I saw two guys talking, and they were just deepening their conversation. And I looked at one of the fellow on the right, and I looked at his arm, his upper arm, and I kept staring at it. I stared at his upper arm. We got to the intersection, the light changed, and the fellow's about to step off the curb. Well, the guy nearest me was in mid-step off the curb, and I reached out and grabbed his arm. And a car whizzed past him. Mm-hmm. The light was red, but he still whizzed past to make a right turn. And the guy looked up at me and he said, "I guess you saved my life." Mm-hmm. And then I walked away. I never said more to him. I just left. I said, "What was that all about?" But then I thought about it and I said, that's just among many things that have happened, because I was just receptive. And I said, I know there is a God that intervenes in our life if we're willing to accept it, that lives can be touched. I mean, that you can be an instrument of your peace if we just yield. And that's what I was trying to say, because like many people, I could be very strong-willed, very strong determined. I had nightmares of churches when I was a little boy. I'd be terrified of Gothic churches. Oh, I'd wake up hollering and screaming. But as I got older, I would stare at these churches from a distance. And then there were two in particular, the National Cathedral, and also there was this Church of the Ascension, St. Agnes. And I eventually went down to those buildings, even at night, and I would eventually touch them and overcame that fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Mm-hmm. There were times I left customer accounts and I would say, these people are trying to drive me out of my mind. But God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Don't go nuts over these people.
Right.
No. My wife, he who finds a wife is blessed of the Lord. He who finds a wife finds a good thing, and he's blessed of the Lord. My wife is a blessing. I didn't realize how much of a good wife I had until I began to find some recovery from my workaholism and activity avoidance addiction. It's very, very true that my true self was hidden so deep underneath my activities and my status, my job, and I could no longer maintain that facade. And it came crashing down big time, and I realized how much I was alienated from people, Michelle. I couldn't have talked to you like this or listened to you 5 years ago. I didn't have that ability. And now, here we are.
Yeah, I think many times it takes a big awakening for people to realize where they're stuck in life. Because like you're talking about the activities. We're so involved in activities, whether it be work or extracurricular activities, just the busyness of life. And we're taught that that's what's important, right? That it's
yes.
not really the relationships, the interacting, or God. It's really the activities. So is there a time when you can remember that it just stuck out to you that you needed to develop your faith more? Or did that just kind of happen naturally?
There was a time when I stared and stared at that National Cathedral. And then one night I said, I need to go there. And I went down there again, and I went in the little chapel, and there was a grotto there. And I sat down in that little chapel, and I prayed. I'm not quite sure what I said, but I did make the effort to pray. There was another time after I retired, and I told you that I had received that bottle as a gift, and I chose not to drink from the bottle. And I had that scripture on there, Deuteronomy, about giving you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life for the sake of your descendants. And that's when I made that decision. I will not return to drinking when I retired, even though I'm despairing, I'm disgusted, I got burned out, I won't sink into oblivion. I'm going to trust you in my faith walk. Where to go, what to do, place people in my life, guide me, help me, Lord. I can't do it on my own anymore. Yes, there was some resistance, but there were more things I had to give up. More things that I found value in rather than my relationships with me, with God, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with my family. And I have to trust you to help me to get through this. I finally realized that I was a human doing at that time and not a human being. My father was an activity addict. He didn't know it, neither did I, but my father suffered from World War II and also his challenges. So we did not have a relationship that was healthy and nurturing. So my neurobiological networks were not formed to know that I had some kind of an identity, that I was precious, that I was capable of so many things, not just by the act of doing. What are you up to today?
Right.
Now, how are you feeling today? How are you being today? Let's go fishing. Let's go this. Let's go that. Let's commune with nature. No, I didn't know that. It was a matter of existing. As a matter of fact, there's a big park not far from you in the Houston area. I forget the name of it, but my son took me to that park. And he walked me around and he showed me different trees and he took me canoeing. My son did for me what I had wished my father had done for me. Well, that's done. My heavenly father is my father now. And he loves me. God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son. I needed it. Needed more than ever. And not intellectually. A natural need that I could be allowed to commune with the Savior, to suffer the children, no matter how old they are, to come unto me, that I could return as a prodigal son. And God knows I've been out there prodigalizing. I mean, I need to return. There was a book written by Anne Sexton. Anne Sexton wrote a book called The Awful Rowing Towards God. The Awful Rowing Towards God. I bought that book. I didn't finish it. But just the title of it.
Yeah. I think that many times, and I'm guilty of it because I was not as mature in my relationship with God when my kids were small. So I know I'm guilty of it. Not really teaching our children how to have that personal relationship with God and with Jesus. We do some, but it's really like you were talking about being a human doing. Our identities are so wrapped up in what we do instead of who we are. Who we are, yes, becomes our occupation. Whether that's your occupation is a spouse, a parent, or a job or career you have. But that's really not who we are. That's something we do.
It is. I mean, there were numerous times over 20 years ago that after a grueling day in some nut house, I would pull up in my driveway and I would pause in the driveway and say, I am married. I have 3 children. I have 3 grandchildren at the time. If I'm married, I have a wife. If I'm if I have children, I'm a father. If I have grandchildren, I'm a grandfather. Okay, let me go on Amazon and order books about husbanding for dummies, grandfathering for dummies, fathering for dummies. I need the resources because I don't know how to do that stuff. I need to change my mask. Many times, I realize it now, I wore a mask, mm-hmm, and those customer accounts to be Mr. Confident. Or in some environments, I was ignored and I would just have to turn my feelings off. Or I pretend to be cheerful. I was going to come in there and just ring a ding ding, put on a performance for you. Oh my God. I can't do that anymore. And I try to be more conscious of it, just to be myself. Pretending to be me prevented me from being me. Mm. I no longer want to do that. I'm finding my voice and helping others to find theirs. Yes, Deborah made a great impact in my life. When I met her, she was the most committed Christian anyone I had ever known. Not a churchgoer, but as her life had changed. She had a number of Christians in her life, her grandmother in particular, her mother later, and she wanted a husband like me. Well, this is what she got. But I'm saying, though, is that she tells people to make a list of what you want in a husband, in a person, a husband primarily. She talks mostly to women. She's very dedicated in her food addicts group, encouraging people, telling them you can't do this under your own willpower. Trust God, his grace is sufficient to be able to do these things that are expected of you so you can get the outcomes that you desire to lose weight. She prayed to God every step she took when her knees were bad and she was 170-some pounds overweight and her knees were shot. And she would pray each time she had to move because the pain was so excruciating. I pray just to pour water in the coffee maker. I am not that overconfident braggart that I used to be just to survive in the work ethic with co-workers or going into customer accounts alone and trying to repair machines or doing these other things. Now I need to rely upon him. I'm amazed to be in a body. I am. We're so fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm amazed to be in the body that, well, let's say that I have control of a body to whatever extent. But look how amazing it is. Mm-hmm. We're talking together. We're made in his image. I mean, in his image, the image that he had for us, his image. We're made. And he's given us the manufacturer's manual, the Bible. I mean, Lord, why did it take so long for it to sink in? Not complaining, glad that it did. But I do know of times when I did make decisions that life could have been totally different, but I made other decisions because my value system was off.
Yeah, I think, well, I've done some posts about that too, right? And I did a live about that. When we bring faith into our everyday life and we base our decisions with our faith and our faith values, we have different outcomes.
Mm-hmm. I remember that post.
Yep, and they're way more intentional and not so materialistic.
No, and I believe that that's part of the vision that he's given you to see beyond the immediate circumstance. It's not just affecting you, but it'll affect others.
Yeah.
Taking those courses, you took those courses and then that just gave you certificates on the wall. Look how many lives you're impacting. Look how you've grown and you can help others to grow, to realize who they are, what their potential is, their gifts and talents. It doesn't have to be as true.
Yeah, each one of us are gifted with gifts and talents to help build up each other in the kingdom. We just have to recognize and accept and move forward with it. And sometimes as humans, that's the hardest thing to do, is being open.
It is. It is the hardest thing to do. It's, just being on your show gives me great encouragement. I mean, you've been a part of my recovery program since I first met you. I mean, even if I didn't realize that at the time, but you've helped me to recover. Your posts, your discussions, your direct mail, you sharing your life has helped me to be a better husband and a better father, grandfather. As a matter of fact, my next oldest granddaughter is here with us, staying with us for a week. And they're going out to, granddaughter's going out to dinner with my oldest daughter, her aunt. Those are answers to prayer.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yes, it is. I'm trusting, dear God, to motivate things that are outside of my hands, to trust him to work in my behalf. I know I've been instrumental in other people's lives, and I'm trusting other people to be instrumental in mine to help me to better understand my environment, to give me a greater empathy, but give me wisdom. Help me to help make my wife's dreams come true. My wife has dreams. I'm concerned about hers because she's put so much on hold for so many other people, as you know. Being a wife and a mother, a grandmother, a daughter, so many responsibilities, roles. I'll say roles, and you do them out of love.
Right.
I'm learning that.
But I see God utilizing both you and your wife to make an impact on your children and your grandchildren. And actually, everyone you come in contact with, God is using you to make a difference, to reach people.
Well, thank you, Michelle. Thank you. If I look back, I will say that God saw all this. I didn't see it. He did. When I was in the bars and this place and that place and whatever, he saw all that feature. And I know that he's a God that he uses murderers and deceivers. He uses prostitutes and persecutors. He uses the most unlikely people to his purpose. And there are others that just go dope de dope de dope de dope de dope down the street. I mean, even the cleaning lady could tell me, well, while I'm working on a printer, a situation could happen. A cleaning lady could say, well, do you need to plug it in first? Oh.
How about reboot? I've used that one on my husband. Yeah.
Reboot. Yes. Reboot. Reboot. Reposition. Reboot.
And people need that too. Not just electronics. People need that as well.
I need it, Michelle. I need it because my system crashed. Mm. And I'm saying, dear God, help me to reboot my system. But in the way that you would prefer. Reloaded in the way that you would reload it. Give me the patience and the guidance, the wisdom, and to help others change their mindsets, the directions that they're going. Give them some hope. The man that I was talking to prior this morning, I speak to him every week, and we encourage each other. He encourages me, I encourage him. There are others, and I say, thank you, dear God. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Michelle.
No, thank you, Ronald. You've definitely made an impact in my life. I also want to throw out there, just for those who are really hesitant about what they have to offer, the skill set. They may feel they don't have the skills. They're hearing a calling but are hesitant. One of the sayings that we definitely use at church is, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called.
Yes, he equips the called.
Yes. So if you are hearing something, don't be afraid. God will equip you. He will give you what you need.
Yes. Yes, he will. If we just take that step of faith.
Yep, absolutely. That step in faith.
The world at large will not understand it. They won't comprehend it. But then it's not for them to comprehend. I mean, in the first couple of verses of John, and you can recall it better than I can, but he came into the world, but he wasn't in the world. He was not of the world, but the world understood him not or comprehended him not. But he was the light of the world, still is. And he uses others to be that light.
Yes.
To be a light.
And many times, we don't see the fruits of our labor, but it's there. No. We're touching people. We're making an impact. We're making a difference. We just don't know it, but it's there. So whatever you do, do with your whole heart, do with all your faith, and know that God is working and reaching the people that need it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I need it. I'll toss one out for you. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Yes. Yes, that's another thing people have a hard time with. Things unseen.
Well, you got the faith to go to your car, open up the door, stick the key in the ignition, and then hope that it starts. But the fact that you had the faith to put your key in the lock, in the ignition, and then the rest of it was left up to the car, whether it would start or not. That's outside of your control. But you got the key.
Yeah, I think I would take that one step further. Yeah. That there is an expectation that the car will start because we've done it before.
Yes.
So when we do something in faith, we cannot fear. Like you have said, God does not give us fear. We need to step out in faith and do it so we can see that it will work the way it's supposed to work. Next time, it'll be so much easier just to do it again.
Yes, to take that other step and the next step and the next step. But what happened to the dude that got out of the boat? Peter, when he got out of the boat, he was walking and then he had doubt.
Right. Right. Got to keep the faith. And
gotta keep the faith.
And because we're humans, sometimes we don't. We do fail. That's part of human nature, but we need to learn. But surrounding yourself with other people of faith, like Ronald, will help keep you uplifted and keep your faith going. And when you're struggling, if you have somebody to talk to that shares your faith, you are a support group for each other.
Yes. And two or three are gathered in my name. There he is.
Mm-hmm.
That we can join together. My cousin and I, who's more of a brother, but we meet each morning during the week and we pray. And we have discussions. He's impacted my life. And I know that I impacted his. And we pray for our families, our friends, variety of things. But we meet together. The veil is torn. We can come before the throne of grace and mercy, receive grace and mercy. Mm-hmm. We don't need an intermediary. We can pray. And we thank God that we can pray. Even to think of somebody else and to pray on their behalf, it means so much.
Mm-hmm.
To support each other. I was a loner, Michelle, for many, many years. I was a loner. I was lonely in the crowd, a face in the crowd. I'd be lonely in the crowd. I think Sean Penn said it one time in this movie. Someone asked him, are you ever lonely? And Sean Penn said, only when I'm with people. I'm like, wow. Wow. Deborah has helped me so much, even though there are times when I can be outspoken and I can flip a switch. I mean, I can hang from the chandelier or crawl under the dining room table, but it goes one way or the other. But I ask God to help me in my mind, will, and the emotions, and to heal me in different areas, and to put together the broken pieces in his fashion, because there's an importance of brokenness. I mean, horses need to be broken in order to ride them.
Mm-hmm.
I realize I'm going through brokenness, and that's okay. I mean, I accept the process. I have to, if I'm going to live. Yes, talents, abilities, skills, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But for what purpose was I using? I kind of equated to being like Moses when he was in Egypt. He had his royalty. He had his status and position. He learned from the best. But yet he had to spend those 40 years in the wilderness for the greater purpose that God called him to. And then when he said he had that stuttering problem, he says, well, look, I'm giving you your brother, Aaron. You got Miriam. And then later on, I'm not going to tell you, but you're going to have Joshua and Caleb to help you out. So it's not like you're stuck in this deal by yourself. Don't worry. And I'll give you a book made out of stone to help you how to live. I don't know. I mean, it's cool. What are you worried about?
That's right. So when I'm listening to you talk, I'm getting some key takeaways for people who want to grow in faith, to grow in more of their faith identity of who they are and build a relationship with God. I'm hearing from you read the Bible, You're definitely into Bible stories and understanding them and applying them.
Yes.
You read good books that help support your search for knowledge and for uplifting you. You have a great support system in your wife.
I do.
In your friends, in your family. What else would you recommend to people who want to continue or start a journey to grow in faith and to build their personal relationship with God?
When I was younger, and I was younger, when I was younger, I had gotten a book called Growing in Christ by the Navigators. That was helpful. And I've got a number of books so that I can rebuild my faith. I'm talking with you. I stepped away from the camera. But there are a variety of books that are going to help me to remember. Yes, they're going to help me to remember. This one in particular, I've ordered off of Amazon. Okay. It's called Getting a Grip on the Basics by Beth Jones. She's got a great series, Building a Firm Foundation for the Victorious Christian Life. There are a number of books in her, ones that she's written. I have to get over a certain degree of cynicism because I carried my workaholism and activity addictions into the church. Mm-hmm. And that made me a prime candidate to volunteer for just about anything.
Yeah.
But it also took away the value of what God had placed in me beyond my resources and capability and availability and people pleasing.
Yes.
I'm saying this little room right here is my chapel. But I was in isolation too when I retired. I retreated to this room. But since that time, just in recent days, I've got a desk area set up in here for Debbie. I have a little desk and a chair, and she can come in here and join me in study.
Nice.
It is. It is, because our marriage is being rebooted. Our lives. There was something that she said to me, this thing called the Erzo Kinesdo, the help meet. Yes, we have help mates for our wives. I'm speaking as a husband, help mates, but also a help meet where anyone can support you in your vision, God's plan for your life, to have a help meet. To join together. And that's what I'm looking to build this in with Deborah, because my prayer includes hers. And that thou shalt grant him perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That the peace of the Lord that passes all understanding. My peace I give to you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you, not as the, my peace I give to you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Those reassurances I've needed. I was to give a concert one day at a church. I gave a Paul Robeson concert, and I was getting the heebie-jeebies the very day of the concert. And I prayed this song, an album by James Cleveland, Peace Be Still, Peace Be Still, Peace Be Still. Thinking about a song that I sing, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see, and he will make a way for me. He will be by my side. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way. That song encourages me. It revives my soul. Time is winding down. My goodness, where'd the time go?
So I know we could talk for hours easily.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm glad you're sitting down. But yes, I'll let you take it. Here, you take the mic.
I'm very grateful for all you shared. And I'm thinking there's so many clips. And of course, I'll share the recording with you, Ronald. I think you should make some clips of you. Some of the things that you're saying, and you should share them out to people. I think it will help a lot of people and offer them support and encouragement that so many people need in the world today.
Okay, we can discuss that. You can give me some advice in that area.
We need a tech person, I think, though. That's the only thing.
Oh, well.
Yeah, but definitely. It's you've shared so much, and I know you have so much more to share. I definitely want to invite and encourage people to connect or follow Ronald. He can definitely be found on LinkedIn. Is that your main social media? Is LinkedIn, Ronald?
It is. Yes, it is primarily.
Okay, so catch him there. You will be glad you did. He shares a lot of wisdom, and he's done some other speaking engagements. You can see him every Friday, briefly on Coffee on the Peak, where he shares some spiritual wisdom. I always look forward to that. And Ronald's just got so much to give. So connect with him, and I'm sure he'll be happy to have a conversation if that's something you're looking forward to.
Well, thank you, Michelle. And I definitely recommend people to connect with you. There's so much you've shared and offer, and just being here is a form of recovery for me. It was my intention not to put on any airs, not to impress, not to be witty or glib. I just want to just be me at last, me at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm me at last, but under God's guidance and direction is what's important.
And I believe the world is a better place because of that, Ronald, that you are sharing the true you with all of us, because that's what God intended.
Well, thank you. I want to thank everyone that's attending this morning, and those that will listen in the future. We thank you for your interest. I thank you, Michelle, for providing this opportunity to be with you this morning. It really is wonderful. You're an awesome person. Dear God, you're a wonderful person. I'm so glad I met you in person, you and Gary. And I look forward to meeting you all again when we can get together.
Yes.
Judith, I want to say hi to you, wherever you are, if you do a replay.
Yeah, I think she's going to have to catch the replay. I know her work schedule's gotten more hectic, so she can only rarely pop in at this time. But I know she wants to hear all you have to say, Ronald.
Yes, and Anne Breen was here.
Yes.
Yes, Anne Breen, good to see you. Who else is out there that I missed?
Yeah. I don't see anyone else this morning. Sometimes StreamYard is odd. There is, Vishal Mahanty was on, but I'm thinking that maybe we're not a direct connection. That's why I don't see his comments. I see him on LinkedIn, but I do not see him on the StreamYard comments.
Okay. All right, well, I want to say hi to everyone and God bless you all. And finally, before we go, I would like to read this prayer to you all, if I could.
Please do.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and your families and give you peace today and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Ronald, for sharing so much of you and your faith today. It is greatly appreciated.
Thank you, Michelle, and God bless you and your efforts today. Take care.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.